stewardship. 2 weeks ago, we began a short series on this word, stewardship. And we began with talking about the stewardship that we're given over life, an amazing gift that God has given to each and every one of us, life. And this morning, we're going to speak about the light. You and I are stewards. Stewardship. Remember that word? Stewardship of light. Not physical light, but spiritual light. Remember, stewardship is a word looking for something to take care of. It's a word that is looking to be responsible for something. You cannot say the word steward or stewardship without attaching it to an object, a something. God created each of us to be stewards. It's in our DNA. Just look at us. We mow our yards. I'd like to talk to the person who began that tradition years ago. There's nothing wrong with a fenced-in yard and some goats and some sheep. But no, we mow our yards. Stewardship, it's in our DNA. We take care of stuff like our yards. Most of us, probably all of us, washed up, took a shower, brush your teeth, brush your hair, tie your shoes. We water plants. We feed our pets. We go to the doctor. We eat. We drink water. We go to school and we come to church. Stewardship, being a steward, it's in our DNA. And yes, some of these things we may do better than others, but God has given each of us the title of being stewards over all of creation and everything He has given to us. Christians, we are stewards of all creation, and we add to that all things God, all things, not just rocks and trees and plants, but all things God. We Christians are stewards of all things that God has given to us, yes, in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm, all things. When God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, He didn't give them a list and say, you are stewards over these things, but over here, no, you don't have to worry about that. God said, you are stewards of all things. And we as Christians believe that He has given to us the responsibility, the stewardship of light, spiritual light. Let's read Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These are the last words that Jesus Christ, God's Son, spoke to His disciples. We believe that He's also speaking those words to us. We believe the Great Commission is our commission. So, I am, you are, stewards of this mission that Jesus has given to us. And as we accept this commission of stewardship from Jesus, what are the factors in its implementation in my life? What are my assets? You're going to be given a job, and it would be your boss at work or a spouse at home or any job. You're given a task. You're going to ask, what are the tools that I can use to accomplish this task? And yes, it's your toolbox. It's my toolbox. But God, our Heavenly Father, provides the tools. I can't do this. You can't do this. No one can do this alone. We need the help of our Heavenly Father to accomplish the task that He has given to us. And in His love and care for us, His faithfulness to us, then He provides the tools that we are to use. Number one, would be His power. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said that all power has been given to Him. We also believe in the text of Scripture that says that all of that power has been given to us as well. The power that Jesus claimed in verse 18 was absolute. All power. Not just the strongest, but all power was given to Jesus. All authority over every king, every president, every dictator, all authority. And Scripture, again, promises this power and authority is given to us, His disciple. And I will say to this that as a Christian, as Christians, the Christian community should be the most powerful community in our nation, in our states, in our city. No wimps allowed. Why? Because God, our Heavenly Father, has provided us the greatest sense of power. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, these words are given to us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Power. You are to be my witnesses. A witness can only tell the story as they have seen it, as they've heard it, as they've experienced it. We aren't witnesses until we act on our experience. Police, when they're investigating an accident, they will only call on people who have seen the accident, who have experienced the accident, who've heard it. Those are the ones that they consider to be a witness. If you weren't there, you're not going to get a call from the police and say, we'd like for you to witness the accident down on Wilmer Avenue. No, because you weren't there. And you will not be a witness until you tell the story. Yeah, you could have seen the accident. You could have been there. You could have heard it. You could have been involved in the accident. But you are not considered a witness until you tell of the experience. So not only does Jesus promise power and authority in our witnessing for Him, Jesus gives us a plan. A plan. He gives us the parameters of the plan. And in the text, He says it's all the world. All the world. And let me just say that a part of the Church of the Nazarene, this is a Church of the Nazarene, your gifts, your offerings, and we give two main offerings, one at Thanksgiving and one at Easter, and all of those funds you give, we send off to our church headquarters in Kansas City, and those funds are gathered from all Nazarene churches around the world, and they are used for missions. And then twice a year, we take an offering, we call it the alabaster offering, and that's your loose change offering. And you bring that, and we send that off to church headquarters, and they use it to build churches and homes, again, around the world. So yes, we, the Church of the Nazarene, embrace the Great Commission to go throughout the world, to the ends of the world. But yet, we don't leave it there. We believe that this gets personal. This gets close to home. Included in the Great Commission are the cities you see listed. Clara City, Kandy, Ohio. And I don't know if you've ever stopped there, but I've stopped there a few times. Do you know that they sell bait there? Yeah, you can stop in there and get some worms. Yeah, you can get some leeches there. And Wendell and Carol, their kids run this place, and they homeschool. So if you want to go in there, stop in there, buy a candy bar, and one of those kids may come out and help you. What an opportunity just to smile at somebody, say hi, support a local family. Belgrade, Lake Lillian, New London, Spicer, Pinnock, the city of Wilmer. All of that is included in the Great Commission. Sometimes we can get lost on the world aspect of it and say, well, I give a check, I've contributed, I've done it, and yes, I will give you that compliment and say, yes, you've done that. But yet, I believe that Jesus brings this closer to home and says we must do it in the places that we live. Anyone know what that place is? I'm going to say that only Corey knows. That's the university that he attends in Los Angeles. So Corey is a missionary in Los Angeles. And before you leave today, say hi to Corey. It's good to have him home. Every one of us has a place. Place given to us by Jesus Christ. And we have the plan given to us by Jesus Christ. And there's a purpose. It's nice to have a purpose, right? It's nice to have a purpose for what we're doing. And the purpose that Jesus lays out for us is to baptize and teach. And there you see Skyler at the beach a couple years ago. And let me just say to you that anyone here claiming to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you've never been baptized, I want to talk to you. Let's have a conversation. And we still have time. There isn't ice on the lakes yet. We still have time for a baptismal service. And then I'm going to say thank you to Bonnie and Cynthia for teaching the kids. And thank you to Roger and Don for teaching the teens and the adults. It's part of the Great Commission. The church, that's you and me, we have a reaching and teaching ministry. And then I will just throw this out. Are you participating in that teaching and preaching ministry? The purpose of the plan is to obey everything that I have commanded you. Again, no disqualifiers, nothing there. It's a plan. Jesus has said, obey everything I have commanded you. No disqualifiers, no don't do this list. And there's no wimping out again. No, I can't do that. I remember my high school football coach, as I told you before, there was no one could say, I can't do that, coach. He would get in your face and say, there's no such word as can't. It's won't. You won't do it. And we cannot say that to God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, His Son, the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has commanded us to obey everything. Everything that He has commanded us to do. The Church of Jesus Christ lives under the Lordship of Jesus, worshiping and witnessing at His command. Back in the 16th century, there was a church built over in Europe. And the pastor of that church, talking to the people that were building it, said, don't put any oil lamp stands, you know, like they used to put in the buildings. Don't put anything in there for light. Okay, they obeyed. So the first service was on a Sunday night. It's dark. And people come into the church. And of course, it's dark. And they go, well, where's the light? Where's the light? So the pastor got up in front of the congregation and preached to them and said to them, it's dark in here, isn't it? Yes, they all agreed. And he said, you are the light. You are the light of the community that you live in. You are the light of this church building. You are the light. At home, each of you have an oil lamp. And when you come to this service next week, bring your oil lamp with you. Bring that light with you. And in the same realm, when you come to worship, you're bringing a physical light, but more important than that, you are the spiritual light of this church. You are the spiritual light of this congregation. Bring your spiritual light to church. I like that. That's a good illustration. And here I have a picture of that same dark sanctuary, but I have put little candles up there. Jesus promises power. Gives us a plan, and He promises His presence. That picture kind of represents this sanctuary and the place where you sit. Jesus promises power, He gives us a plan, and He promises His presence. He says, I am with you always. Always. Again, there isn't a place where you can go and hide. Very few people like the dark, and I don't know if you're like me. I really don't like the dark. It's easier to be in dark when I'm with someone. I would say that most people do not want to be alone and live in the dark. We live in a dark, sinful world, but we're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have each other. Verse 19 begins with the word therefore. Therefore what? Therefore what? We are to go to this, we are to be stewards of the light because Jesus has promised His presence, power to work His plan. Therefore, since we have His presence and we have a power to work His plan and we have a commission and a command. We have it. We have a commission. We have a command from the triune Godhead. And it is our obedience to the words of Jesus that will be seen in our community. Darkness is the absence of light. We know that true in the world of physics. You can't create darkness. Well, you can, but the way to create darkness is to remove light. And the more light you can remove, the darker will be the environment. Well, we do know that darkness is the absence of light. Jesus said that we, you and I, we are the light of the world. And so we must share the light of Christ in a dark world. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, one of the passages of Scripture, it's a word picture passage that I really like. And it speaks about the aroma of heaven. In heaven, John writes and tells us that there is a bowl. And in that bowl is incense burning. The aroma of heaven. What is the aroma of heaven? Well, John tells us, led by the Holy Spirit, that the aroma of heaven are the prayers of the saints. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? You know that? What fills heaven, the aroma, the smell of heaven, isn't bread baking. It's the prayers of the saints. On Wednesday nights, we give the women an opportunity to meet in a room and they pray. And I hear great things from that. Nothing confidential, no violation of that. But what an amazing time the women have in sharing prayer concerns. Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock, the men of the congregation meet. I invite you to that. You're joining in on the aroma of heaven. And yes, I understand you can pray at home. That's fine. But I will also point you to passages of Scripture that says there is nothing like getting together and praying. The first church in Acts met in homes and they prayed together. They fellowshiped together. The aroma of heaven will be our prayers. But here on earth, we live in a dark world. The light of this world is you. It's me. Oh yes, Jesus, we like to sing the songs about Jesus being the light of the world. But yet Jesus points to you and He points to me and He says, you are the light of the world. It is about you, it is about me being obedient to the command that you and I, we are the light of the world. Let me just say this. Could it be on us, the Christians of the world? Could it be on us that we live in such a dark, sinful world? Again, if darkness is the absence of light, could it be on us that we aren't shining our light in the dark world? Could it be that Wilmer is a sinful, dark community because us, the proclaimed disciples of Christ, aren't being obedient to the Great Commission? That the words of Jesus when He says, "You are the light of the world," we just see that as, "Oh well, so what?" The light of the world is Jesus, shining in and through me. The light of the world is Jesus shining in and through you. We like to sing the little song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." You can join in, but we're only going to sing the first verse because we could be here all afternoon singing all of the verses of that song. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel." No, yeah, we'll sing the second verse. "This little light of mine, hide it under a bushel." No, "I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Could it be that we live in a dark, sinful world because us, the Christians of the world, aren't letting Christ's light shine through us? You know, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. And I know that we have a plan. Jesus gave us the plan, baptize and teach. But often we'll say, "Well, how, you know, really, is there more to this? Why, oh, it's so difficult. Oh, what can we do?" I've got a little project for you. I'll be standing in the back and I have a little basket. And I've taken some M&Ms, the little packet of M&Ms, and I've stapled to that a little piece of paper with a little saying on it. It's a simple little thing. Giving some words of encouragement. Calling someone your neighbor and a friend. Although we've never met, you're my neighbor, you're my friend. And may today you experience the blessings of God, our Heavenly Father. It's just a little something for you to give away today. When you go out to eat, give a packet to the server. If you're not eating out, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going today or tomorrow, find someone to give a little packet of M&Ms to. And give them a God blessing. A small, simple thing. Again, I'll say as I said before, shining your light in somebody's life may just be smiling at them. It may just be saying hello. When my family comes to town, the girls, they like going to the mall. The grandkids like eating the pizza at the mall. And the girls, they go over and get the tacos. The man that runs the pizza place, I know him. Not real well, but I know him. His wife works at a business where I'm the chaplain. So there's a connection there. And he's picked up on that connection. So when we go there, he's very friendly, and he brings us food out, and if we're eating out in that courtyard area, and he always gives us a little something extra. We were there a couple weeks ago, and he brought food out to me, and he handed me the little something extra, the little dessert piece of dough there with the frosting on it. Anyway, as he handed it to me, he said to me, "God bless you." Now, it's amazing that he would say that to me. He's a Muslim. I know that. He's a Muslim, but he said to me, "God bless you." Sad to say that he was the first to say that to me. I had never said that to him. But it doesn't take much to shed a little light of Christ in someone else's life. Say thank you to someone and say, "God bless you." It's amazing how simple sharing the light of Christ in someone's life can be. It doesn't take a dialogue. It doesn't take a long story. It can just be a short, simple, "Thank you. God bless you. God bless you." I want you to leave today, take a packet of M&Ms, give it away to someone, shine a little light in someone else's life today, and God bless you.